This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His blessings, and we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dearest brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, I greet you with the greetings of Islam and peace and the greetings of the people of paradise. Salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace, may His blessings, may His safety, may His mercy be upon you all. It's a pleasure to be amidst yourselves and this community in Melbourne this evening. And I have been blessed to visit various communities across the state since the beginning of Ramadan. And honestly, I can only feel emotions of joy seeing the vision of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in its manifestation. And I have no doubt that if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to visit this corner of the world, he would only tears of joy, because indeed it was his vision that Islam reached the four corners of the world. No doubt a vision far more grand than the years that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted him. However, he used the years that Allah gave him well, for he created a team of Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, who then took on the diligent duty of looking after his legacy, and we are the fruits of their efforts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us with them in paradise. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this ummah only the best. Everything about what we have been given is the best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Qur'an, the best revelation, the final testament, the timeless miracle, the best book. He reveals the best revelation using the best angel, Jibreel alayhi salam, and it is revealed to the best messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the best language, the Arabic language, during the best of all nights, the night of power and decree and special virtue, a night that we know as Laylatul Qadr, which the Quran describes as being greater than 1,000 months. Also, this revelation happened in the best of all months, the month of Ramadan. Sayyidul Shuhur, Shahr Ramadan, the best of all months is the month of Ramadan, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, and Allah says in his book, Shahr Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran, that the month of Ramadan is the chosen month, the month in which Allah revealed the Quran. And all of this happened in the best of all places, Makkatul Mukarramah, the best book via the best angel to the best messenger in the best language during the best night in the best month and in the best of all places. And in this best revelation that came to us in the best of ways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees the ummah that receives this revelation as the best of all nations. Subhanallah. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas, as Allah tells us in the first quarter of the fourth juz, you are the best of all nations. This is not just a statement with randomness, brothers and sisters in Islam. This is a revelation from the Lord of the worlds, the creator of everything in existence. He declares that the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ummah that receives the Quran, is the best of all nations. Now, brothers and sisters in Islam, we've lived long enough to know and realize that as a universal principle of life, there's no title void of responsibility. If you hold a title, it definitely comes with its share of responsibility. The greater the title, the greater the responsibility. In fact, if anyone is given an honorific, there are rules governing how those titles are used. It is unethical to use an honorific title in a way that gives people the impression that you actually hold the responsibility of those titles. And if you abuse the honorific, society will stand up against you and say you are being unethical. If we look in the educational establishment, you have a principal. That's the highest title of the establishment. And that title comes with the highest range of responsibilities, far greater than the responsibilities of the head teacher and the responsibilities of the teacher. It's common sense and it's true to the natural laws and universal values of the life that we live in. If you look at the corporate sector, the same thing applies. You have a line manager and he has a special status which comes with special levels of responsibility. He is held accountable over the rest of the employees in the organization beneath him. Above the line manager, you have the chief operating officer, a greater title. It also comes with greater responsibility. He is held accountable in a far greater way than the line manager. Above the COO, you have the chief executive officer, the CEO, and he holds a responsibility at a range far greater than that of the COO or the line manager or anyone beneath him. And greater title here also teaches us that it does come with greater responsibility and far greater levels of accountability. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares this ummah to be the best of all nations, brothers and sisters in Islam, we very quickly have to ask ourselves an important question. Why? What is the responsibility that we are carrying to be given this divine title, a title from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can it be so easy as just being born after the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we're the greatest of nations because he was the greatest messenger and we are part of his ummah? Can it be that easy? Surely it can't. And in the same verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares us to be the best, he tells us why. He lists for us three responsibilities. He says, you are the best because تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. You are advocates for good. You are adversaries against evil. And you run your process of da'wah, inviting towards good and forbidding evil, upon a particular identity, and that is the identity of Iman and Islam. It is upon an identity that when other systems look at you going about your way, inviting towards good, forbidding evil, they recognize Islam and the Muslims in what you do. It comes with an identity. This is why you are the best. Three responsibilities that make us the best of all nations. Now, when we zoom closer into this verse, brothers and sisters in Islam, we see something very interesting. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he lists three verbs, and verbs denote action. That for you to be the best, you have to be a person of action. And he doesn't only list three verbs, but he lists three verbs in the present tense. And in the Arabic language, for those who are familiar with Arabic grammar, you would have come across a principle related to the present tense which states, وَفِعْلُ الْمُضَارِعِ فِي اللُّغَةِ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ يَقْتَضِي الْحَالَ وَالِاسْتِقْبَالِ. In other books, it says, وَالِاسْتِمْرَارِ. The meanings are the same. That the present tense carries a dual function in the Arabic language. It carries the function of denoting something taking place now and something that continuously takes place, similar to the function of the present continuous in the English language. Now, when you understand this and you step back and you look at the verse again, you learn something new, subhanAllah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we are the best of all nations, not only because we invite towards good and we forbid evil and we believe in Allah, but we are the best because we always invite towards good. We always forbid evil. And we always run our process with the identity of Iman. The identity of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That there's no public holiday from these responsibilities. There's no weekend from these responsibilities. There's no bank holiday from these responsibilities. You don't log into these responsibilities at the beginning of the week and log out of these responsibilities at the end of the week. You are defined by these three actionary mandates, these three responsibilities, thus you are the best. Now, when we understand it like this, it makes perfect sense. Because the best of all individuals, the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, they carried these three responsibilities on their shoulders by themselves as individuals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these responsibilities in the form of a legacy, the greatest legacy the world would have ever experienced, upon the shoulders of Nuh alayhi salam. Inna awhayna ilayka kama awhayna ila Nuh wa nabiyyina min ba'di. As Allah tells us in the first quarter of the sixth juz, Allah says, indeed, we revealed this legacy to you, O Muhammad, as we revealed it to Nuh alayhi salam and the messengers after him. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the legacy of al-amr bil-ma'roof wal-nahi anil-munkar wal-iman billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala as a package deal, as a legacy, as the greatest solution to the world and its inhabitants to Nuh alayhi salam. Then Allah shifted it from the shoulders of one man to the shoulders of another man, to the shoulders of another man, to the shoulders of another man, up to a point. And that was with the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For Allah decreed that he will be the final messenger and the seal of all prophets. But brothers and sisters in Islam, we know after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the battle between good and evil, truth and falsehood continued to exist. The enmity between shaitan and mankind continued to exist. In fact, it became amplified. So what will happen to mankind when Allah has decreed that no prophet will come after Muhammad? What will happen to the greatest legacy that the world has ever experienced? And the answer to that question, brothers and sisters in Islam, is you and I, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the young from us and the old from us, the males from us and the females from us. Because after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the greatest legacy that made men great. He took it off their shoulders, and he didn't transfer it to the shoulders of one man, but the collective shoulders of an entire ummah, the ummah of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You and I, brothers and sisters in Islam, we carry a load from the weight of the greatest legacy that the world has ever experienced. This is why we are the greatest of all nations. We have a mandate that no nation before us had to carry, brothers and sisters in Islam. And when you understand it like this, you understand very well why the giants before us, they would pass statements as, this ummah is an ummah that came to give, not to take. This ummah is a solution for humanity. We are the flag bearers, brothers and sisters in Islam, of the legacy of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. We are responsible for carrying it and responsible for transferring it successfully to the generation to come and inspiring them to be able to transfer it to the generations thereafter. Allah has blessed me to travel to many communities across the globe, and the vices that we complain of in Australia exist in other places as well. The complaints about disenfranchised youth, the complaints about an institutionalized effort to break the family structure and cause rifts within society, and so on and so forth. And within these societies, we hear voices from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who point fingers and say, where are our scholars? Where are our imams? Where are our students of knowledge? What are they doing? Where are the du'at? All these graduates, where are they? Where are they? We need help. And brothers and sisters in Islam, the questions are valid, but there's another question that needs to be asked, because whenever we point a finger, there's three fingers pointing back at us as well. Allah didn't leave this legacy to be carried by the imams and the scholars and the du'at and the students of knowledge only. He left this legacy to be carried by each and every member of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As you point a finger and ask, where is the imam? We should be asking ourselves as well, what are we doing to raise children upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that will be a solution for society tomorrow and not a burden upon the scholars and society tomorrow? What are we doing to raise children that will be worthy husbands, worthy wives, worthy mothers, worthy fathers tomorrow? A solution to humanity as opposed to a burden to society. What are we doing to be worthy husbands and wives to each other, worthy parents to our children today upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Are we carrying our share of the responsibility of this legacy and its weight as we should? Because brothers and sisters in Islam, it's physics. If you have a load placed upon a group of people and a few from those group of people opt out of carrying the load only becomes heavier for the few that have opted in and choose to carry it. And when you make the load too heavy, it becomes unsustainable. And this is where scholars fail to manage the wave and the onslaught of vice that is presented in front of them. Brothers and sisters in Islam, this is one way for us to be the ummah that came to give and not the ummah that came to take. Another way, brothers and sisters in Islam, is to be the flag bearers, the oxygen behind our ulama, our scholars, the students of knowledge, effecting productive, transformative institutions that are able to train society from all its tiers, upon all its tiers, from the scholars to the adults, to the youth, to the children, to grow up with their eye on the prize, and that is the vision of looking after the legacy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, on my way here, I was sitting and discussing with the mufti of this establishment, and subhanAllah, he inspired me by what he was saying, and it was amazing for me to hear the wonderful efforts of this particular institution and other institutions that he's been involved in Melbourne, Australia. And that's why I chose to begin my lecture saying that if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was here, I feel confident that he would tears of joy seeing his dua, seeing the vision of his legacy and mission manifesting itself, that he wanted Islam to reach the four corners of the globe, and literally we are sitting at one corner of the globe, and alhamdulillah we have Muslims fasting the month of Ramadan, praying the Taraweeh in the numbers that we see, walillahi alhamd. But brothers and sisters in Islam, we have to understand that no matter how much is done, the motto will be so little done, so much to do. We are an ummah that have been left the keys of guiding the globe at large. So brothers and sisters in Islam, I definitely encourage you all as action points and to bring some conclusion to this short message, to return home tonight and sit with your spouses and discuss things. How effective parents are we to our children in light of the message towards looking after the legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we heard today? How effective are we as spouses to each other? How can I be a better husband, closer to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How can I be a better wife, closer to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How can we raise better children, closer to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Let's assess, let us look at his ideal, and let us look at where we are, and let us figure out the gap between us and that ideal, and let us figure out why there is a gap between us and that ideal, and what we can do to close the gap. Let us ask ourselves, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to knock our doors, would we be ready to open our homes and let him enter our house? Or would we keep him at the door and try and sort out some things between us? Tell the children what to say, what not to say. Tell our spouses how to dress, how not to dress. How to interact, how not to interact. Would we need to revise ourselves and our language and our speech? Would we need to adjust our ringtones on our mobile phones? Little things. Would we need? Are we ready to bring the messenger into the home? Or would we need to keep him standing outside, waiting to get our home ready to bring him in? This is what it boils down to, brothers and sisters in Islam. What are we doing in terms of answering his question if he had to visit us with regards to our community efforts? How are we supporting the community with our time, with our wealth, with our self? Are we ready to answer these questions if he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came to our doors and knocked them and expressed his desire to be a guest in our homes? How ready would we be to receive him? Now, brothers and sisters in Islam, he's passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولِ. As Allah revealed, he was only a messenger, and messengers came and went. But الْحَيَّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ever living, the all living, the perpetually living, subhanahu wa ta'ala, watches us every day. He hears us every day. He decrees upon us life to give us a chance to take care of the legacy that he wants us to take care of. We know, brothers and sisters in Islam, that we will meet the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah, inshaAllah. He has a basin and he will be calling us to drink from that basin. The question is, will we get there or won't we get there? Because there will be a group that will be prevented from getting to his basin. And when he calls out to the angels and says, these are from my ummah and I was promised access to them on this day, they will say, O Messenger of Allah, you don't know what they did with your legacy after you. This is a question that we have to ask ourselves seriously, brothers and sisters in Islam, because this life is not play. Allah didn't create us in randomness. He created us with purpose. There's a day of Qiyamah that's coming, and we will answer. We will answer, brothers and sisters in Islam. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he mentions to us a narration about a conversation that will take place between the slave and Allah on the day of Qiyamah. A day, subhanAllah, that is 50,000 years in length, when our deeds in books, as far as the eye can see, will be presented in front of Allah, and our small deeds will be presented to us before our major sins. The smaller sins will be presented before the major sins. مَالِ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً. Allah mentions صغيرة first. Subhanallah, the small sins will be presented before the major sins. Despite the taxing nature of this inquisition, Allah will have this conversation in which Allah will say to his slave, O son of Adam, I was sick but you didn't visit me. I was hungry but you didn't feed me. I was thirsty but you didn't quench my thirst. Subhanallah. No doubt the slave will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh my Lord, you are the Lord of the worlds. You don't get sick. You don't get hungry. You don't get thirsty. How can I feed you? How can I visit you? How can I quench your thirst? And Allah will say that there was a slave of mine who was sick. Had you visited him, you would have found me there. There was a slave of mine who was hungry. Had you fed him, you would have found me there. There was a slave of mine who was thirsty. Had you quenched his thirst, you would have found me there. Brothers and sisters in Islam, you can take this further. There was a call for support to establish an educational establishment. There was a call for support to develop leaders within the Muslim community. There was a call to support towards youth development programs, towards adult development programs. There was a call for the support. Where were you, O son of Adam? Had you answered that call, you would have found me there. I leave you with these words to ponder over, my dearest brothers and sisters in Islam. We are in a month of transformation. And food for thought of a different nature. We fast, yes, but there's certain food that is halal for us to consume whilst we fast, and that is spiritual food. Food that indeed creates paradigm shifts and allows us to become the best version of ourselves in Ramadan and beyond. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our past, inspire and bless our futures. May He accept our month and make it a month in which we are freed from the hellfire and we are written from amongst those who stood the month and fasted the month with iman and ihtisab. Believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with good hope in the rewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I love you all for the sake of Allah and I wish I could stay with you longer. I have another masjid to get to deliver a lecture there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all and never prevent me from seeing your wonderful faces. I ask Allah to bring me back to this community. May Allah preserve us in His obedience. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. Hada wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.